Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Oh, little Elton. Good work there by Dan Wilson back in the studio. It is the WIP Morning Show from Borgata, our home base on Fridays. John Ritchie, James Seltzer, and for Joe DeCamera. Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney hanging out. We got some Howie Roseman audio I want to play for John coming up in a few minutes. Twitter poll question of the day is sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Our question is, do you think this Phillies team is currently constructed is good enough to win the World Series this year? I don't. I do not think that the team, as we see them on a nightly basis right now, is good enough to win the World Series. Devin, I feel like you've disagreed on that one. You're more in the still a little belief in the team. to paint you in a corner here.
No. I don't think I'm overly positive. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that this team, as currently constructed, can win the World Series, because I don't know if I fully believe that. I will say this bullpen cannot win a playoff series. Mm-hmm. The Phillies bullpen, as it currently stands, cannot. I do not have faith in them winning this team any sort of playoff series, let alone the World Series. I will say, I think I sound more positive just because I'm not like, season's over, you know.
Which I don't think anyone is. We're just talking on a nightly basis about the team. You have to react.
And people, yeah, and I get, like, people are frustrated, and we still have, you know, the way last postseason ended, the way last season ended as a whole, kind of giving us a bad taste in our mouths, and I understand that, and it's easy to get down and negative, but I do have faith that at least offensively this team will get it together. It is still very early. I mean, if you look back to last June when the Phillies were playing their best baseball and were in London, they were like double-digit games ahead of the Mets, and then the Mets came back and beat them and knocked them out of the postseason. So it is a long season in baseball. It kind of stinks the way it's set up. Like, it really just depends on what team is playing the best baseball when the playoffs start or towards the end of the season. You know, you hope the Phillies can hold on to a playoff spot, but it's early May. I don't have faith in the bullpen, though, and that really concerns me.
Rhea, my issue with the lineup is I'm starting to think that they might just be passing their prime.
Yeah.
That we might be getting older Bryce Harper, that we might get older Trey Turner, that these guys just are never going to. And Bryce, it's a little too early. Yeah. Like, Bryce, I'm not freaking out on yet. But Trey Turner, like, I don't think we will ever see the player they signed. The guy that got $300 million, I think that player is gone forever. Where are you at on the lineup and on this team?
It's way too inconsistent. What they struggle with the most is clutch hitting. Like, you're not getting that out of them at all right now. And, you know, you're right. The Trey Turner thing, I just remember when they signed him, I'm like, he's my candidate for MVP. And
dude,
I couldn't have been
we
more
all
wrong.
Loved him, especially coming off the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
John loves to bring that. Was like right before it. It was like Captain America.
Woo!
Yes.
And if I was another team, I would simply tell everybody to hit balls right at him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, hit it where they ain't or where they are
where
in this
is.
Case. All right, 215-592-9494. Where we at with this Phil's team? Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to get some more Howie Roseman audio. Yesterday, I'm with Jack. and Ike Spike off yesterday. Ike and Jack, I thought a really good job doing that interview. Some interesting stuff I want to get John Ritchie's opinion on with Howie Roseman. That's coming up in a few. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Jordan and Princeton. What up, Jordan?
Good morning, James. Great to have you hosting the show today. Usually I only get a couple of seconds to talk to you, so this is a rare pleasure, and
what a treat, my friend.
Hey, I got to tell you, he's not here, but I actually pulled at the camera last night. I coached an 8-year-old's baseball game, was hungry afterwards, went through the McDonald's drive-thru for a Big Mac. And as much as I want to support Joe and his healthy eating and everything, it's nice to get a Big Mac every once in a while.
The thing, Jordan. We have to normalize going to McDonald's and not pulling a Joe. It's fine to go to McDonald's. Everyone loves McDonald's, like on a limited basis, whatever.
Yeah.
Like the point is at 12 o'clock at night, don't order McDonald's DoorDash.
In an Uber.
That's my point.
I mean, it's
all about context here. Yeah. Jordan, you're allowed to have a Big Mac.
And it's also a staple for him.
It's a go-to.
That's a big part of the problem.
Well, and here's the other
problem.
It's not
a treat. It's a staple.
Yeah, and the other problem is that if it's not McDonald's, it's ice cream. If it's not ice cream, it's this. It's that. It's like, it's the grouping of all of it that is just so...
He hasn't seemed to grasp the concept of caloric intake is what matters. Like, you need to decrease the calories, and that will help. Like, we didn't tell him that part.
No.
He is working out, though.
We
it's
hear.
Not fruits, vegetables, grains, Big Macs. It doesn't.
And that's the thing. Remember,
in moderation.
Well, remember, he had never even eaten a strawberry before we forced him to try one down
I guess
in Clearwater.
What, he'd been like 37 or so when he tried a strawberry? 36,
no,
somewhere in that range?
No, he was older than that.
Was it older? No, he wasn't that much. Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, he was. He was like 39. I think
he
I was that age.
Been 40.
Because I was, I think it's, I'm doing my age. I was 37 when he tried a strawberry.
He
I don't understand
40
that.
Years old and he never tasted a strawberry.
Yeah, it is unbelievable, Jordan.
He's an interesting man, a very interesting man, but I hope he's enjoying his day off. Devin, I got to give you some props. That little piece of reporting on Rob Thompson not talking to Orion Kerkering, I have to be honest, that is one of the most concerning things I have ever heard in professional sports. That tells me that you've got a manager who is incapable of having a confrontation with a young relief pitcher who is not just struggling. I mean, he is completely ineffective right now.
Not that he's incapable, but why did you not? Like, that is as low a bar in terms of talking to someone. To your point, like, he is a young reliever. Like, this is not something that should be overwhelmingly difficult, challenging Rob Thompson.
Yes.
Rob Thompson, this is low bar management
It's not going to Bryce Harper and having a tough conversation with Bryce Harper.
Even though I wonder if Bryce Harper needs a tough conversation.
I think he does, but I don't think Rob Thompson will do it.
Rob needs to have these tough conversations with almost everyone we're talking about, except Kyle Schwarber, the one player. Well, Bryson
Stott
also.
I was going to say,
Stott is also
like,
doing
you know,
well.
Like Zach Wheeler, Lizardo, you can leave those guys alone.
We can leave about four or five guys out. But
don't
Rob
talk
Thompson
to Lizardo at all.
Let him keep doing what he's doing,
he needs to have tough conversations with a bunch of folks.
But if he is unable to do this, then he is going to lose the clubhouse, and maybe he has already lost
it. Maybe he has.
And I think we can
maybe
all see.
Maybe that's what we're watching.
And visually, it is apparent that the vibes are low. This isn't last year, and I'm okay with that. I wanted to move past the immaturity, but some balance needed to be struck. And you have a bunch of guys looking like somebody just peed in their cornflakes when they get out to the plate, and the energy is low, and I think it's translating into these mental mistakes that we're all referring to.
Yeah.
So, you know, my thing with this team is I do think this can be a championship-caliber team, but the delta between performance and potential is enormous right now.
I think it's mindset.
I think our
world champion Eagles needed that week five bye desperately because they needed a change in mindset. They needed a chance to just take a step back and reload and reset. I don't think it's, you know, the end of the season, end of the world for this Phillies team. I think it's getting dangerous. I know it's early. I think you are treading on dangerous ground, thin ice, however you want to say it, because the attitudes are close to out of control. Alec Boehm, every time I look at him, he looks like he's about to cry. Bryce Harper, we know the mopiness Bryce
Harper is the most concerning to me.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't think it's anything, you know, health-wise or physically, but he...
It could be, though. I mean, the back, the whole thing, you
yeah,
know?
I mean, he briefly spoke to us yesterday, or 2 days ago, I should say, and, like, it was just a very stilted, dry, like, he did not seem to want to give anything away in terms of, you know, information, personality, how he was feeling, just like 2-3 word answers. And that concerns me. I understand people don't like the media is not their best friend, but the fact that he wasn't even willing to divulge, like, what made you bunt in that game?
Totally.
Like
and he's supposed
bizarre.
To be the leader. It's
exactly.
not just like he's like a Johan Rojas in that situation.
Yeah.
And then again, on top of that, like, Bryce turns 33 in October. You know, like, he's getting there. Like,
yeah.
we're starting to get to the point where people, almost everyone, has a physical decline of some part, like some level. Like, and not everyone. Like, so there are people who can, you know, and it's usually pitchers. For hitters, like, it's really rare to see a guy continue at the level Bryce Harper is at into and past his mid-30s. Like,
yeah.
it's really rare, and he's turning 33 in October. Trey's turning 32 in a month. Like, that is that, Jordan, and that's my concern, is that it's not just a mentality thing, but it's a mentality thing combined.
Coupled with
loss of ability and talent. Jordan, you got an answer for us?
It was both a movie and a book, John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men.
That could win. Jordan, that could win.
Unbelievable.
Great
answer.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
And the rare, great answer. Books and great movie.
Yeah, it was a
John Malkovich.
Yeah, I was just about to say Malkovich's Lenny. Yeah, great movie. Yep.
I just want to point out, I don't know if anybody heard that massive thud a couple minutes ago.
So yes, I did. I was trying to move past it for you. I wasn't going to, you know, dime anyone out.
No, but I will just say, if you're walking...
The YouTube stream probably saw it.
Oh, yeah, because we both reacted. If you're walking down the street and thinking about, you know, mugging Devin... That phone must weigh 50 pounds.
That was your phone?
It was her phone.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Can I, real quick, can I tell you? I thought it was one of those, like, things that hold up the rope here.
No,
like,
it startled me. It was so
I
loud.
I thought it was like a big metal thing that just fell on there.
And
that's
I
your
picked
phone?
It up and I went, oh, my God, this thing's like weighs 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah, it is pretty heavy. Yeah.
Is it all
that was my phone.
It
went, yeah. It's full of secrets. Not the Philly secrets, yes. though, because they don't tell me anything.
All right, 215-592-9494. We're coming up in 2 minutes. We're going to get some Howie Roseman audio on Jordan Davis, and then 2-piece audio, one that's going to make you feel worse, one that's going to make you feel much better. That's coming up. But first, let's talk to one of our old Midday Show callers who we – literally never hear from in the mornings. I hear him calling into Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas all the time, Mr. Midday Show guy. But once upon a time, our guy Chris in Middletown used to call us every day.
Yeah.
What up, Chris? How
hey,
you been,
Chris.
Buddy? I'm disappointed.
No Joe Day. Better than it.
Also the originator of that drop, the original one. How you doing, pal? We miss you, man. I know you're a Midday Timesman, but we miss you, buddy.
listen, I mean, I'd call in, but, you know, there's certain people on this show that, you know, unless they're not there, I kind of keep it on. So.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Hey, guys, I'm glad we're on this topic of Harp, because I'm starting to see something with him, and I want to get your opinion on this. If this year continues to be a train wreck and spiral out of control, and James, you hit the nail on the head. He's 33. He's getting older. He definitely wants to bring, and he wants to cement his legacy. Do we see a possibility that he says, trade me and get me out of here?
Look, I don't think it would happen now or in season or whatever, but
no.
I do think that – here's where I think that could happen. If they lose again this year, I don't think it's going to happen after this year. I think there's a chance that when he gets to 35, 36 maybe, and he wants to win a title, and he sees – if, and again, this is a big if, but if the young players who the Phillies have coming up don't materialize, if they're stuck with these contracts and unable to work around those contracts, I think there's a chance in a couple years Bryce looks at it and says, I want to, all I care about is winning a title. Like, put me somewhere where I can win one. I don't think we're there yet, though.
I in all of the time that I've watched him here, even in some of his bad points where you're struggling with the back and other injuries and other various things that were going on, I've never seen his mental makeup look as poor on a consistent basis as it does right now. And when he let that ball go right through his leg on first base, I mean, that's just, I feel like I'm watching a version of Bryce Harper that I've never seen before. And I may be wrong. I didn't follow him heavily
that's
when
one.
He was at the Nationals, but
that's one where that was another play. He needs better wherewithal or just awareness. Like, just drop
sure,
and get
in your
front
body
of that
in
thing.
Front of
like,
it.
Don't let it get past you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you fail at fielding it cleanly. Just throw your body in front of
that. I felt the same way. Obviously, look, it was his first error of the season. I think from the one thing that we can't rip Bryce for this year is he has been phenomenal defensively. He really has played really well defensively.
Yeah, he has.
So, like, that's the first.
It was a bad play.
First bad play defensively. I'm going to give him a break on it. But at the same time, it's when it's coupled with the attitude.
Three base error.
It was the biggest play of the game. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. We're talking about the Rojas thing because it's super idiotic and he deserves to get ripped for it. And I think
it's a sixth inning kill.
I think it's, like, again, emblematic of this team and the way they go about their business. But the Bryce Harper play was when they lost the baseball game last night. You know?
No doubt.
So to your point, Chris, like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to kill him for the play itself, but I'm going to be on Bryce right now for the way he's going about his business, the way he's acting in the midst of struggles, and the way he is not at all leading a team that desperately needs leadership.
Yeah,
real quick on this before you guys let me go here. I just think, again, I agree with you, James. It's not his play. It's not indicative of his play with the error, but it is a representation of the mentality
of
where he's at.
I agree. No,
Chris,
it's fair.
Do you want to box Joe to camera?
Chris would kill Joe.
I know,
like,
but
that would be. Look, I love seeing Joe humiliated.
I mean, standing room.
I
only.
Actually don't think we could do like Chris.
I've met.
We've
Chris.
Seen Chris.
Yes.
Chris is huge.
Chris
is a body like muscle
up.
Like a lifter guy.
For those
like,
who don't know,
Chris, I wasn't joking when I said
you.
Joe, like $1 million baby, that would happen to Joe. Like, he would be dead. He would be paralyzed. Something. It would be bad.
I
can't do it.
Yes.
I know. I feel bad laughing.
I know.
So, Chris, I'll make a competition with you, John. You ready? I got a challenge for you.
I don't want to take it. Whatever I'm not taking a physical challenge against you, Chris.
No. Well, listen, we'll have a plane contest between you and me, except I'll put the camera on my back while you have nothing on yours.
Oh.
And I'll do it.
Wow, that's kind of interesting, actually.
Wow.
Now, you got your shoulder stuff
you have
and all
to,
that,
that's
so I don't
the
know
thing.
If we can.
Almost every
Richie's
joint
got to,
in me just doesn't work
I don't
anymore.
Know that if it's worth it for Richie to put the more damage on his body for something like that, but I love it. Chris, you got an answer for us?
I don't know if this fits what you guys are looking at, but Boys in the Hood?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Boy, of course.
That's
a potential winning answer.
That's
I mean, all right.
Great.
Like,
wow.
I won't say it. In case you haven't seen, if you haven't seen Boy, I know it's a over 30-year-old movie, watch Boys in the Hood, like one of the saddest moments in any movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, not just any movie. Like, that is tough. Like, that is a tough moment in Boys in the Hood. What a great movie that is.
It is a great movie.
It's a great
I know you
movie.
Guys give me a hard time for not watching older movies, but that is a good one.
Yeah,
I
look
will,
at you.
I will endorse
Devin,
it.
Devin chiming in on a 90s movie. I love
I'm
to
crazy,
see it.
Right?
Beautiful. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a minute. Again, your chance to win Elvis Costello tickets as well by giving us the best title with man, woman, boy, or girl. Like that one, Boys in the Hood, Boy in the title. All right, I want to get some audio from Howie Roseman. Howie was on with Ike and Jack yesterday. Spike was off. I thought both Ike and Jack did a fantastic job. They asked every question that I wanted asked in that interview. I thought they asked fair questions, but they got to the heart of what we wanted to. You heard the Dallas Goedert audio before. I want to get the three more pieces of audio to get John Ritchie's reaction and yours as well at 215-592-9494. I want to start with the Jordan Davis thing, and then we'll get to it. A piece of audio that's going to make you a little nervous and a piece of audio that's going to make you feel really good. But I want to start with the Jordan Davis thing because I know that's been a divisive issue on this show. I know Joe and John, both of you guys have been anti them giving the extension to Davis, don't love the extension. Rhea and I, a little more pro the extension. Devin, I think you're a little more pro the extension
I'm
as well.
I'm pro.
Yep. So we're a little more okay with it. I want to see if Howie Roseman's explanation for why they signed Jordan Davis or picked up the fifth-year extension for him does anything to sway your opinion, John Ritchie. Here's Howie Roseman yesterday talking about the Jordan Davis fifth-year extension.
First question on that with him, the decision to pick up that fifth-year option, why did you guys do it? And then secondly, his development, watching him develop through the first 3.5 years of his career going into his fourth season, how has that been going according to your evaluation and where you guys expect him to be moving forward?
Well, like, I think if I answer the second part, the first part's going to be easy.
Okay.
When you watch Jordan and how he looked the second half of the season, and that's a big part of it, how he looked.
Mm-hmm.
He was in great physical condition and shape. He was disruptive during the playoff run. We forget, again, like, players still develop. You know, when you look at the history of defensive tackles in the National Football League, you see a lot of really successful guys that people forget took to year 3 and 4 to really hit their stride. And we think he is just hitting his stride. This guy is going to play really good football for us here. He's an unbelievable person, worker, leader. And I think the sky's the limit for him. I think that, you know, he feels it and he's got tremendous confidence, and I'm excited for our fans to understand why we thought it was a really easy decision for us to pick up the option.
So that all completely jives with me. That's what I've been thinking. Rhea brought it up the other day, and it's something I brought up in my pod as well. I mean, Ty Robinson, the defensive tackle they just drafted, is less than a year old or a year younger than Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is less than a year older than the guy they just drafted. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 years of experience under his belt. And to the point that he made, he has gotten better as
he was
each year has gone
on. Playoffs.
Terrific. And he was in shape. And I think people forget, this is one of the best athletes in the history of the combine. John Ritchie, this is his spider chart. Like, look at that. Like, he is an elite athlete.
It's
like,
fabulous, but he still only played 20-some
So there you go. So this doesn't
sway.
That's where I was going to get to. So what Howie said doesn't move you.
Well, it does to some degree when he says, hey, we look at the analytics, the ages, the averages across the board in the NFL, these defensive tackles, the defensive linemen, takes them a while to grow into themselves, so to speak. And he's got a lot of growing into himself to do. He's truly gigantic. I understand he was in shape for the postseason. I understand he looked better and actually got some penetration against the pass.
Two sacks, I believe, right?
But that was just such a
and again, real quick,
too
just
little,
when you move
too late
past
for my taste.
You're moving past that he was in shape at the end of the
I
year.
Get it.
I mean, 2 years ago or 3 years
he
ago,
was,
you know,
he was
like,
in shape.
I think he does.
I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel when Howie says it takes a while for these guys to develop. We're watching it happen with Jordan Davis. I don't see that. I don't see the development happening. I don't get to watch him in practice the way these coaches
do,
and his teammates do. He absolutely knows so much more about what Jordan can provide than I can. But it was not anywhere close to good enough against the pass.
It
to
doesn't
merit
happen.
This price tag.
It doesn't happen if Fangio doesn't approve it. I mean, look, Fangio. The Eagles had How much money did Bryce Huff get to come here?
$51 million.
He didn't play him. Okay, so in my because I like, you know, Jordan Davis a lot more than a lot of people, but I just think this doesn't happen unless Vic Fangio says he sees a trajectory.
And I agree with that. I think Vic has obviously been intimately involved in these decisions. Yeah. But at the same time, and Elliot pointed this out to me on my pod, and he's correct. Like, Vic Fangio is not a personnel
guy.
Like,
that is infallible. Yeah,
that,
yeah.
And he, yeah. You know, like, so I do think that he's not infallible. Exactly. Sure. I do think the other thing with the Jordan Davis part that we don't give enough credit to is I do think he matters in that locker room.
I do.
You know, with the Georgia guys, he seems to be the heart and soul of that. Like Elliot said on our pod, he's like, if I just said to you that Jordan Davis is only here to make Jalen Carter better, would you have him here? And it's like, maybe, you know, like, mm-hmm. That's so important. But he is on top of that, a developing player and all that. So I like it, but I do understand where you're coming from. All right, two more pieces of Howie audio, then I'm going to get back to the phones. One's going to make you a little nervous and not feel great, but the second piece of audio, you're going to feel awesome when you hear it. So let's start with Howie on Jahad Campbell. Question about, you know, the injuries and kind of what can we expect from getting Campbell on the field. John, I want to get your thoughts on this. I didn't love this answer.
Obviously, the only reason it seems like he was there was because of shoulder and knee concerns. I know you won't get into detail about the injuries, but I guess what would you say to Eagles fans who are concerned about some multiple injuries happening here with Jahad Campbell?
Yeah, I mean, a huge part about playing in the NFL is being durable and being able to play a lot of games. That's a huge part of what we look at when we're drafting guys. There's no chance that if he wasn't coming off of off-season shoulder surgery that he would have been within a distance for us to go get, because he's that talented of a guy. I think that over the last couple of years, our medical staff has proven their success with guys. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but we were very confident even when we thought he was just a top 10 player in the draft and we wouldn't come close to him, about how he would be. I don't even want to say long-term, because when long-term, I think of this player playing for us 3, 5, 7 years from now, which we're all confident here that he'll do. But even in the short term, you know, I think for our fans, this is what I would say. I'd say, in a situation, and I'm not saying this is apples to apples, but last year we drafted Coop in the second round. Coop didn't play till the week of our last preseason game. I mean, it's hard to remember, but he didn't start until week 6, which was really our 5th game. How did that work out? You know, and so I think we can be a little patient here. And make sure that this guy is right, and because that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure he's right, that we are going to have a heck of a player for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time.
Look, John, I am fine with them waiting. Like, I don't think he has to start the second he's here, and like, if it's an injury thing and all that. But, like, I first and foremost, the Cooper Jean thing, I think, is the exception, not the rule. I don't think you draft an injured player and he ends up, becoming
Super important player. Landon Dickerson was also
but Dickerson was ready to start, but he was off. I'm talking about someone who will miss time in their rookie season because they're hurt. I'm talking about that specific thing, not a guy who had injuries and is an injury risk. I'm talking about someone who's injured, like physically hurt when the draft happens. It's hard to get on the field when that happens. Like, how he made that. Like, I don't think we should expect John Campbell to be ready to start training camp. I don't think he's going to be, like, fully ready to start the season.
I mean, I hope he is. I
did you think from that you expect him to be ready to start the season? Because I don't. If I had to bet, I would bet John Campbell's not ready to start the season.
I can't imagine why. Well, okay. I sure hope he's ready to start the season. I don't know exactly how to read what Howie's saying there. My fear in the back of my mind always is Andre Dillard, because we know that Andre Dillard was on the board when we drafted only because he was slipping and we hadn't put the requisite time and effort into Andre Dillard to know everything we needed to know. It wasn't Howie's finest hour when we drafted Andre Dillard. In this case, I hope that's not the Jahad Campbell situation. I know that they didn't think a top 10 guy was going to fall to them. I'm sure that
the fact that he was not in for a top 30 visit. You know, that does suggest that this was a guy they were not
None
targeting.
Of their draft picks were, which is wild. They had zero.
But again, he talked about how every time there were guys who
they didn't expect.
They didn't expect to be
available.
And look,
I'm fine with letting the draft come to you. I have no problem with that. Yes.
I think that's the best kind
of
draft.
I agree with you.
You get the best value. But, you know, sometimes you just got to kind of take a swing without having all the information. And I think this is a case where because they didn't have him in for a top 30 visit, they didn't have as much information as they normally would have. I'm not worried about it personally. I think I watched Jahyd Campbell play. He's an incredible talent, and I know how tough he is and what a great leader he is, and I think he'll step in. I expect he'll be ready to play when the season starts. But, again, I think I'm a little over-aggressive with my expectations and health parameters. I'm not worried about Jahyd Campbell's health.
Good. I'm a little concerned.
They're going to take their time with him. You want to know why they're going to take their time with him? They did it with Cooper DeJean. It was the right thing. You know, they kind of babied him along the first couple of things, and then what, week six he starts and goes on. The Eagles, in outside of N'Kobe Dean, they had like 21 starters healthy for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I kind of trust their medical that they're going to take their time with this guy. They don't have to rush him in.
I agree, but I still don't love hearing that their first round pick might not be ready to start the season. Like, I agree with you. I don't want him rushed physically, but it does lend the fact that maybe these injuries were a little worse, and it's part of the reason he fell and all that.
I just wanted
to hear a little more confidence about it. All right, last part that if you want, that's concerning to me. This is great. There's no flipping this around any other way. We don't really talk about what if Howie were gone someday. You know, we just assume that he'll keep going, but we never really asked the question. They asked the question, and I think you're going to like the answer. Here's what Howie had to say.
I do wonder for you, Howie, do you still have that same sort of love and energy to want to do this for many, many years? You're still a young man.
You haven't been around NovaCare very much, have you? You haven't. Yeah. I will tell you something. I couldn't be more motivated, more determined to have another parade through Broad Street where I don't get hit in the head. I feel like I only enjoyed half of that parade.
By the way, how's that going? Did you recover okay from that?
But I will tell you, I love this team, this city, my job so much. The day that I can't give you every single ounce of myself is the day I won't be here anymore. And you know, obviously, I don't get to decide that anyway, but I will never do that, and I couldn't be. I feel like all these experiences have made me better. I continue to learn, and I'm continuing to hope that you know, everything that we do leads to more world championships. You know, they become addicting; they really do. And the confetti falling, it really gets you in a mode where nothing else matters. And so, for me, I think I'm in this mode right now of just whatever it takes to get back and whatever we got to do to keep getting back there. And it makes me proud that our fans can say, you know, I felt after the first one there was a lot of, you know, they got lucky, the run. Like, that's what I heard. You know, I don't know what we said. That's what I heard in my mind, and that's what I came in. You know, now we're at two, and what are you going to say? You know, are we lucky twice? I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, three's a charm.
You guys see it. I'm fist pumping here as I'm listening to it. I want to run through a wall right now. Like, awesome stuff. Howie, not going anywhere anytime soon, and just as driven and dedicated. You love to hear it. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phones. Obviously, talking Phillies, but if you want to react to the Howie audio, we would love to take those calls as well. Let's talk to our buddy Darren in South Philly. What up, D?
This is the way the show should be. James Seltzer and John Ritchie, and the camera's nowhere in sight. I swear, who do we have to talk to at WIP to make this a permanent thing?
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. We're good. We love Joe, but it's nice, you know, nice to get a break from Joe.
I love Joe, too. But, I mean, I do enjoy the breaks.
No,
but,
I love you, buddy. It's all good.
I had two things. One's a little long-winded, and then I have a Phillies point. Is that all right?
Yes.
You bet.
You made the comment that you said, does Jordan Davis here helps Jaden Carter be a better person? That's true. That's great. You know what else is going to help Jalen Carter for the next foreseeable future? The fact that the tackle the Cowgirls drafted hasn't given up a sack in 2 years because Jalen Carter left the SEC. The last time they faced each other, Jalen Carter owned him for 3 sacks. So I'm excited for that. So please bring on the Cowgirls.
Yeah, look, I loved Dallas drafting a guard in the first round, but I do kind of like the guard they drafted.
He's pretty good,
just
right?
from what yeah. I've seen of him. He's a good guard. He seems very
and
good.
That Donovan Ezeraku
yeah.
that they
yeah,
drafted.
I thought
in the
Dallas actually had a pretty solid
really
draft, but you know, solid. Like I mean,
but they are
so far behind.
They have
Dallas,
so many holes.
Dallas is the third team in the NFC easily right now. Look, let's put it this way: I expect them to finish under 500 this year. So yeah, I'm not too concerned.
No. Jalen Carter owns that guard. That's all I'm saying. That's why I was happy about it.
Love it. Love it. What are you on the Phillies, Dave?
That's for the Phillies point. That's for my Phillies point. Are we at the point now where we can just bring up Aiden Miller and either put him at short and put Turner in
no,
the
we're not at that
bring
point.
Up,
we're not.
Bring up
no.
our center fielder,
Darren,
please.
Right? Darren, no.
I'm there, but
we're
James
not.
Keeps telling
I, dude,
me I'm
Aiden
insane.
Miller's 20 years, like, he's not ready. Like, that would be insane to bring up Aiden Miller and put him in shortstop right now. Like, I love it. Like, Justin Crawford is ahead of Aiden Miller
yeah,
in terms of being
that's
ready.
That's the guy that I've
and
wanted
I don't
all
think
along.
Justin Crawford yeah. is quite yeah. ready yet. Like, I think he's close. I think maybe midseason you get Crawford up. And look, you could bring him up. I just, like, there is a detriment. We've seen players come up, struggle, and have to go back down. Like, that happens to a lot of the vast majority of players. Come
but
on,
we've
struggling
seen
to go back
players. Down. I mean, this is the thing that's always bothered me. Didn't always bother you that Utley and Ryan Howard came up late?
Yeah, but that's years later. I'm talking about the difference between yeah. 21 and 26.
I know, but
like,
I'm saying,
talking like 23 or 22.
You see players around Major League Baseball who come up at 20 and 21 and
yeah,
appear to like not.
They're usually yeah. The most elite prospects in the sport come out at that.
The afternoon show had Larry Anderson on a couple days ago. Maybe it was like the end of last week. And he said something that really stuck with me. And he was, you know, talking about the team's struggles. And he's like, well, you really have to nail down the fundamentals when you're down in minors
totally.
Before you're able to be brought up. Essentially saying, like, maybe some of these younger guys were brought up too soon and are still trying to figure out their fundamentals, and that's a reason why they're struggling, especially at the plate.
Then don't bring them up here because they won't learn fundamentals at this level either.
And that's why you want to let guys like Justin Crawford and Aiden Miller figure that out while they can.
And look, Justin Crawford at 21 is young for AAA. That is young for AAA, much less the major leagues. But on top of that, like, these guys are way too important to the Phillies long term to rush them for a situation
but
like this.
It's not unusual to look at. This is what is wrong with this team. They've got all these star players making bazillions of dollars, and we're talking about bringing up Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford.
I'm so with you.
That's what's frustrating about this team.
I don't disagree. Yeah. I don't disagree. Yeah. Darren, give us an answer, a title with man, woman, boy, girl in it.
All right, this movie projected probably the best video game on planet Earth. How about The Man with the Golden Gun?
The Man with the Golden Gun?
Never heard of that.
Bond?
All right, is it Bond thing? I think he's thinking of
Golden
Eye.
Like, oh, yeah, but that's not the title.
No, so. That was a bad job by Darren. Okay. We're going to have to dig him for that one. That will not be a winning answer.
What are we going to put him in detention?
I'm sure there is a Bond movie that has, I mean, I would think, I don't know the Bonds that well, like, but, you know, Dr.
Well, if he's
no,
talking about
one
the,
of them.
It's called Golden.
GoldenEye
so
is the game.
Man with the golden. Yeah,
yeah,
like
yeah
that's
he's
not...
just wrong. No, he's just flat out wrong about his answer. I'm saying there probably is a Bond movie that has it in it. Regardless.
Oh, yeah.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.